Today, people feel that we live in a society of post-racism. So I want to know, are you using Johnson stories and shit like that we maybe don't live in a post-racism world, or that racism is still, you know, going on today?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that frustrates me more than anything is when people talk about this, like, post-racial society, because it's not. I wake up every day and I know it's not. You know, imagine you have some of the same experiences. You know, there are things are certainly better than they were in 1965 or something. Even better than the 80s when I was coming up, but it has not changed that much. You know, all you have to do is look at the way that the president's treated in places. And he would have never, if he was Caucasian, they would never yell at him that he would call him a liar in a speech. That stuff is all coded racial. So, you know, I mean, that said, I think that, you know, Jack Johnson was a 21st century athlete at his time. You know, so he was a 21st century athlete in the 20th century in the way he carried himself. He's got these fast cars, he's got all these women and these nice clothes. And so they were already going to not like him, you know, no matter what he thought was going, or what he might have imagined to be the case. It was always going to be a problem for him. And, you know, so in the end, I mean, you know, he was aware of it, he found ways around it. And part of the catalyst or the motivation for him trying to do these things that would have been unheard of for an African-American man at the time was growing up in Galveston. Like you mentioned, in this community that didn't put such an emphasis on race, you know. I mean, even though he was the child of slaves, he still was treated as an equal, as a human being, as a man in Galveston. And he carried that with him when he left. The problem was other parts of the country didn't go that way, and so because of that, he had to chase Tommy Burns across three different continents to get him to fight him, because he's like, I won't fight a black man. You know, and so, anyway, I mean, yeah, to go back to your original point, I mean, Jack Johnson is very much the embodiment. The problems that he had are the same problems that contemporary athletes have in time. Like Richard Sherman, when he was talking about, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but Richard Sherman, right, after they played the 49ers, he was sort of, you know, very brazen in his talk. He was like, I told that guy I was going to shut him down. And then immediately got attacked, you know, for this thing. And Richard Sherman's a graduate of Stanford. He's like, like, I'm not this person that you're trying to make me out to be, just because in the moment I said some things. Like, I stands behind what he said. It was just that there was a kind of stereotype placed on him because of who he was. So, you know, in that way, I think to Jack Johnson, he's always going to be relevant because he was the first African-American heavyweight champion. He was the first contemporary athlete. He was a template for Muhammad Ali and all these other great fighters.
But so compared to Jack Johnson, what made you decide? Because, you know, like, most people think of boxing, you know, they...
Yeah.
So.
Well, I watched Muhammad Ali when I was a kid. Actually, I met him when I was in high school. And I got the chance to meet the great Muhammad Ali. It was a really humbling and wonderful thing. You know, Jack Johnson is a different kind of figure than Muhammad Ali. You know, Muhammad Ali is a complicated story. Elizabeth Alexander is a poet that read the first inaugural poem for President Obama, has written some gorgeous poems about Muhammad Ali. There was an opera written about Muhammad Ali, or stage plays. I mean, he has a lot of literature around him. And so that wasn't why I didn't do it. It was that I felt a different kind of connection to Jack Johnson's story than I did to Muhammad Ali's story, maybe because I was alive when it was going on. You know, I was seeing these things, and I watched the Muhammad Ali fight and those kind of things. I had a different, it's tied to something else in me, if that makes sense. I think about Muhammad Ali, I think about when I was growing up and watching fights on Saturday with my mom. I think of Muhammad Ali in that way. Jack Johnson is separate from all of that. I knew, I heard about him then, but I didn't have an understanding. So I was able to look at him as a figure in a way that I couldn't objectively look at Muhammad Ali,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
Because I love them both.
And
you know,
back to the question about the post-racism, I want to know, do you believe that we ever will get to a point of post-racism that is real and live? And do you feel that, are there any hints of that, like, bridging in your writing?
Well, I hope so. I hope it's going to happen. I mean, I've got a daughter that I don't want to have to deal with the things that I dealt with. You know, I want her to have a larger palette for the world than I had. I think it's possible. I mean, it has to happen at some point. But the challenge, of course, is that it's race, but it's also economics. These two things are tied together in so many different ways. And so with the kind of economic disparity we have in our country, there's always going to be that pressing down of the people who don't have. And so until some of those issues are addressed, everything's going to be on this. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, so I mean, I think, I hope that it'll happen. But one thing begets another, you know, until we can figure out a way to deal with the issues of poverty that we have in our country. These other things are going to hang around too, because they're all intertwined.